raising spiritually minded children. We've talked about those in our family who are not Christians. We've talked about those who are Christians but have fallen away. How do we deal with that? Last month we talked about, you know, those that that are not married. There's still things in the realm of that where we have services to render. So there's been a lot of things, various topics, some maybe more specific to some than to others, but just trying to hit on various things that will help us. We're going to look today, as we continue in, talk about the communication within the family. Again, not maybe a topic that might not be as broached as some of those others that we've looked at, but it's still a big part of family relationships. Raising a child is a serious thing, and all parents want to take care of all those physical stuff, you know, keeping them dry, keeping them warm, keeping them fed, getting them educated, shielding them from sin the best that we can for as long as we can, all those things. But where does communication fit in with all of that? It's easy to talk. It's easy to talk. It's hard to communicate. We can miss it on a lot of realms. We can sometimes we miss it on not enough of it. But we give three words and we expect people to read our minds. And then there's other, we miss it on the other side. What ought to take us three words, and we make somebody sit through war and peace? You know, which sometimes we're not saying enough. Sometimes we're saying too much. And saw a thing one time about communication. There's what you said, and then there's what we think we said. There's what the others thought we said. There's what we thought that they heard. And then it just goes on, and all those things that we probably have all experienced. You said that. No, I did not say that. So a statistic that only 30% of communication is verbal. Imagine that. I don't know how in the world you could be so sure of that. But if they're close, only 30% is verbal. We communicate through gestures. We communicate through eyes. We communicate sometimes through just syllable. Sure. A lot of ways to communicate. It's a big part of life, which means it's a big part of family life. And again, we might not talk about it much. Hopefully today we can just, one of those things where just kind of shotgun blast it. Hopefully something sticks. Hopefully something, if it's just one thing, will help. But if it's a big part of life, it's a big part of family life. If it's a big part of family life, that means it's a big part of training. And it's a big part of disciplining. And it's a big part of teaching. And it's a big part of building relationships. Which means it does fit in this series. So let's look through and see what it is that we can learn about this, and hopefully it will help us. And when the door's shut and it's just the family, it's just that nuclear group, how can we be better? Let's first of all start with our communication, whether verbal or nonverbal. Whatever those percentages are is immaterial. Whatever it is, we're communicating verbally or nonverbally. It has to match. Look at Luke chapter 12. Just start with me in verse 1. Just Jesus talking, public teaching. In verse 1, it says, in the meantime, when there were gathered people, gathered an innumerable multitude of people, for as much as they trod upon one another, they are shoulder to shoulder and elbow to elbow. He said to his disciples, beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed. There is nothing hidden that will not be known. Just to paraphrase verse 2, what he's saying is there will ultimately be no secrets. What we are will be made known, even if it's not till judgment day. But there's no secrets to be had. Verse 3, therefore, because there's no secrets, whatever you speak in the darkness will be heard in the light. And that's what you speak in the ear in closets. That's what we would call whispering. Going off in the corner somewhere and then whispering into somebody's ear. The things you whisper in the closets will be shouted from the rooftops. What he's saying is it's all coming out. And so our actions and our words, they have to match. There's got to be a uniting of those. We're familiar with the phrase, actions speak louder than words. I don't know who coined that, but there's a reason that we've all heard it. And there's a reason why 100 years from now, if the trumpet hadn't sounded, people then's going to hear it too. It's a truism. Actions speak louder than words. People can take and have twisted words. Something you said, and then it kind of gets played on. But you know, actions kind of speak for themselves. Somebody might can twist your words, but your very actions can bring that to light. Your very actions can shine from the housetop on that. I've got a thing on my desk. I've got just four or five different piles, and I know which pile it's in. I don't know who said it, but there was just this one little sentence, one of those one little quick statements. It said, preach every day of your life. And it's got a little semicolon. Preach every day of your life. And when you have to, use your words. Think about that. Preach every day. Now, if you have to, start talking. But preach every day. What's that one sentence saying? It said our life can be the sermon. Every day our life is the sermon. Now, sometimes we have to verbally say something. Remember, if those scientists are right, only 30% is communication. Only 30% is verbal. Preach every day. Teach every day. When you have to, talk. But let our actions speak. Now, to bring this into this series, bringing it into the family application phase. Family's going to see us what we are. I'm talking about I don't mean the extended family. I'm not talking about people you see at funerals or once every year at the reunion. But no. We're talking about the family. The ones in our home, behind our doors, the ones we have the most contact and connection with. They will know how serious we are about spiritual things. You know, we can shout some things from the rooftop that sounds good and looks good, and that's what the others might see. But then there's us in the closet. There's us in the house. And nobody there but us. And when we put a vacation above assembling, parents, it's just communicated. When we put a ball game in front of a Bible study, parents, you just communicate it. And when we are too sick to come to a class, but we're not too sick to go to work, I got to go to work, we communicate. We communicate, and nobody may be seeing it but those closest to us. But they do see. Verbal or nonverbal, they're picking up on the things others might not see, because that's what families do. The closeness lets us see the real deal. There are no secrets in that family home. They ought to see us as happy people. Don't let your kids see nothing in your house but complaints. Complaining about the boss, complaining about the neighbors, complaining about crazy aunt so-and-so, complaining. Some people, that's all they do. You're communicating, and they are picking up on that. What do they see? Whether we're talking verbal or nonverbal, when we are what we ought to be, the words and the actions all match. But they have to match. Because the ones closest to us are seeing it. The ones closest to us are being impacted by that. So we're talking today about family, and we're talking about communication within those walls, within those houses, behind those doors. What are the kids seeing from the mom and dad? That's what we're looking for. What do they see? Our communication doesn't just verbal and nonverbal need to match, but our communication needs to be consistent. I've got a proverb there. We're not going to look at it. There are multiple proverbs that talk about, just to wrap them and put them into a succinct, just one statement. We never need to be out of character, is the point. No, you can, you put on the show, so to speak. We know how to behave in certain situations. We have all turned, hey, we're in public. Hey, you know, that's all you got to say, right? Hey, we're in public. You don't act like that in public. Well, what does that infer? That we can act like it when we're not in public? Well, that depends on the situation, right? There are some things, as we say, we can let the hair down at home. There are some things when it's just us. Yeah, take your feet off, kick your feet up. And there are some things okay in the house that's not okay in public. But now, come on. There are some things that aren't okay in the house either. There are some things that don't become right just because it's not happening in the middle of Main Street. And so we never need to be out of character. Don't say and do things around the family that would be a red face embarrassment if you were anywhere else. And I guess to try to get some specifics to it. So that then, again, we're trying to shotgun it. You take it however it might fit to you. But just as an example, just to show the point. There are husbands and wives who talk to one another like they talk to nobody else in the universe. They say things about one another they would never say about anybody. Nobody. They would never talk like that to somebody at work. They would never talk about somebody at the field. Never talk about, like, or they would never say something like that in front of somebody in the neighborhood talking over the back fence. And we wonder maybe why our husband and wife relationships aren't what they ought to be. It might be because we treat them worse than we do somebody else because, oh, we're connected. Oh, we are stuck together. And doesn't mean we talk to each other down. Doesn't mean we talk down to one another. Doesn't mean we call each other names. So however this fits, apply to yourself, to your own family, however this might be. What are we doing? And I'm not talking about, you know, just laying around in clothes that might have a hole in it that you would never go out of. I'm not talking about silly things like that. We're talking about conduct. We're talking about character issues, maybe character flaws, things we fight to control the temptation of holding our tongue in when we're in public. But when we're at home, we just let it fly. There needs to be some consistency, and the character has to match. And it's not just about being polite everywhere else. Opening our mouths lets people see into the heart. And that's not just talk, that's just not public stuff. So again, these probably could have been blended into one. We want our verbal and nonverbal to match. We want our communication, however it might be, we want it to be consistent to the best that we can. And the thing is, that takes some work. Turn to James chapter 1. Good communication takes work. Some people are not very good communicators. And it might be because we just never have practiced it. Maybe we're not teaching our children. Maybe they're not seeing it. But good communication takes work. Listening is hard. It's easy to talk. Remember, that was introduction. Sometimes we're not communicating very well. But the talking part is easy. It's the listening part that's tough. Most people don't like to listen. Pay attention to what the others are saying. And again, we're talking about the family situation here. Parents, if you don't take the time to listen to them when they're young, there's a good possibility they're not coming to you when they're older. You don't have time for them now, and you never develop that relationship. You never develop this just talking. You don't want to take the time when they're young. They might not want to take the time as they grow. They'll find somebody else they'd rather talk to. So before we go any farther, let me just throw a couple things out. take some work. But here it's just, again, apply whatever you need to apply. But here it's just a couple of quick, maybe suggestions. Eat together. You know, unless you're 70-something years old or above, you're probably not watching live TV. All the young people are streaming now. And you've all got the, I mean, you stop it and then you fast forward through the commercials and you wait and you... There's not very much on TV that's live or die, right? There's not very much on TV. There's not very much that you're probably watching that you gotta watch it live. Turn this thing off. There's nothing wrong with sitting around the TV watching TV, eating your meal. And every now and then that'd be a nice treat for the kids. But if that's all that ever happens, you might be shocked the first time you turn the TV off and you get around the table and you realize, huh, what do we talk about? And there's just this quiet silence. Open your eyes. That might be a hint that there's not a lot of good communication going on. Some of these communication issues that we're talking about today may be roosting. Make a habit of just eating together and talking about that. About what? About whatever. What happened at school? And what happened? Just talk. You'll find something out about them. You want to find out what your kid's thinking about? Find out what they do. Just make a habit. That's a quick fix. Turn the phones off. If it rings, let it ring. If a text dings, let it keep dinging. I doubt it's live or break. Most of them are things you can deal with 15 minutes later. Let it go. And just have some time planned for the family. Another thing, real easy fix. It can be done. Just pick a day. Pick a day of the week. You call it whatever you want. But just don't do anything else. Don't go anywhere else. When daddy gets home, when the day is over, don't invite a friend over. Everybody wants to have friends, yeah. Let there be one night of the week. No, there's nobody coming over tonight. Grandparents are not coming over tonight. Aunts and uncles are not coming over tonight. Cousins are not coming over. No, this one is for us. But what are you going to do? You may do nothing. You may just be in the room together. But just be in the room together. Let that be a good starting point. Because for those of you young kids, when it gets loud and it gets crazy and sometimes you're just begging for peace and quiet, the day's coming, you'll enjoy the noise. You'll wish the noise was still there. You'll wish there was more to the room than just you. And take advantage of it now. There's a thousand other things we can throw to that. I'm just shotgunning, just spitballing. What can we do to help this? To help this communication problem? But it takes work. James chapter 1, look at verse 19. James 19. Know this, my brethren. Know this, my beloved brethren. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. We're kind of the opposite of all that, aren't we? We're slow to speak, or to listen, rather. We're fast to speak, and we're fast to anger. Many of us are having trouble with all three of them. In baseball, that's three strikes and you're out. We fumbled them all. The things we're supposed to be slow in, we're really, really quick at. The things we're supposed to be fast at, we're not all that good at. And no, in this communication, is know what the other is meaning before we respond. Don't just worry about pounding our thoughts in. See, there's the quick to speak. I want to say what I want to say. I'm supposed to be slow to speak. I'm slow to hear. I'm supposed to be quick to hear. I'm supposed to be paying attention. But I'm slow to hear because all I'm already thinking about is how I'm going to respond. I'm not hardly listening to what's being said because I'm already formulating, here's what I'm going to say to that. Anybody else ever struggle with that one? Talking's easy. Communicating's hard. Communicating takes work. Biting the tongue is, I guess, the easiest way to just make verse 19 applicable to us. Bite the tongue. Listen better. We want it to match. We want there to be consistency. We're going to have to, for that to happen, for either one or two to happen, the nonverbal and the verbal matching, that takes work. For the consistency, for the whispering in the closet and the shouting from the rooftops, we want that to be the same. We want the character to be the same. That's going to take work. All of this takes work. But don't think that it's not work that can be done. The generation gaps doesn't have to put an end to all of this. Good communication can occur even though there is the differences in the generations. When I was teaching school, it was one of the teenagers I had, and this might very well prove the point even today. I had a teenager come in, and he was telling his mom that he didn't like Limp Bizkit. And she said, well, maybe our oven's messing up. Now, if you're in your 20s and 30s, you're going to get that. The rest of you, there's a generation gap. Limp Bizkit was a band, a pretty popular rock band back in the 90s and the early 2000s. And Mama didn't know that. She thought she was making the biscuits not taste very good. She didn't know what he was talking about. That's funny. There are some things that's not funny. There are differences in the generations. But that doesn't mean that we can't communicate. Parents, your attitude toward God is going to have an impact on your kids. Kids, your attitude toward God is going to have an impact on your parents. You're in this together. And so think about all that. Somewhere I had that list. I forgot now what it was. All that long list. It's obedient children. The training of children. Raising spiritually minded children. Some of those earlier ones that we've done earlier on in the year. Kids. Teens. You helping your mom and dad out with that? You helping them out in this training process? Are you an aid or a hindrance to them disciplining in this process? Do we add to the frustration? In Ephesians chapter 6, it flat out point blank tells dads, be careful how you handle these situations. You can cause more damage than good. Are we helping our children in these situations? Turn to Proverbs chapter 15. We want to consider our own selves first. So teens, those still at home, talking to you, this communication. How do you receive communication? Proverbs chapter 15. Look in verse 5. Proverbs 15:5. A fool despises his father's correction, his father's instruction. He that regards reproof is prudent. So I'm asking you teens, how do you receive discipline? How do you receive correction? How do you receive this reproving? Do you do it with rolling of your eyes? You just communicate it. Do you receive it with mumbling under your breath as you're walking down the halls? You just communicate it. Grow up. You want to be treated as an adult? You ever said, I want to be... Then act like one. Stop acting like you're 3 years old. Stop acting like you're 7 years old. You have a role in this communication deal. Do you expect life to be fair? And you think everything is supposed to go your way? Then grow up. Because if you hadn't learned that now, you better learn it quick. Grow up. You may be part of the problem because your mom and dad have been given a God-given responsibility to mold and train and discipline, and you may be making their job a lot harder. It's already hard enough. It's hard enough to raise a righteous child in an unrighteous world. Don't make it harder because of how you respond to things. Now, second point. Consider the other's viewpoint. Parents, it's not a sign of weakness to take things into consideration. Set them down. Tell me why you think this is a good idea. Possible things may happen. The first thing is they're not going to have an answer for that. Because they're going to be, if they have any age at all, they're going to be old enough and mature enough to understand everybody's doing it, just doesn't cut it when you're not 10. And they may realize, I don't really have a good answer for that. Set them down and communicate. Why do you think it's okay that you go here? Tell me what you think. Tell me why you think it's okay that we do this. Tell me what you think. Find out what they think. A second thing that might happen is they might explain themselves very well. There may be. Because of the generation gap, there may be something that we had not considered. Set them down. We're looking at communicating one with another. It's not a sign of weakness to listen. And sometimes we think that it is. And so we've got our mind already made up. And so that brings us maybe to the third point, and that is some humility. Pride has ruined a lot of things. And some of those, a lot of things, are relationships. Some of those, a lot of things, are families. And so we might be wrong. There might be a better way. We won't know it till we talk. Now, once that conversation takes place, Mom and Dad, you remember your role. They don't need another friend. They need a parent. So once that conversation, tell me what you think. Well, here's what I think. And then you be the parent. You'd be the one with maturity. You'd be the one with the lifelong of experiences that they hadn't tasted of yet. And you be what God asked you to be. But having the conversation is not the problem. Having the conversation is not the weakness. Maybe the problem is we don't have the conversations. We just don't know. We don't know what they're thinking. We don't know why they're thinking. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter 3. We're looking here as these points coming down to the individual. Individual application. Verbal and nonverbal needs to match. Communication needs to be consistent. It's going to take some work to get this done. But it can be done regardless of the age differences. And we can still find commonality, especially if that common ground is Scripture. Look in 1 Peter chapter 3. Here's an example of someone whose words and actions match. Here's an example of someone whose character is always on. It's not a one thing behind the door, another thing in the public. Here's an example of someone whose actions and words, both speaking and speaking loud. Here's that long section, that long sentence, that long paragraph where it's talking about a wife whose husband, not faithful, not a Christian, and it's given, Holy Spirit giving advice of how to live before them. But as we read through this, we're always talking about the wife, right? We're always talking about the woman's responsibility, right? We're going to read it again. And as we're reading it, I want you to think about, what does it say about the husband? Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any do not obey the word, they may without a word, be won by the behavior of the wives, while they behold your chaste behavior, coupled with reverence. Whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of the plaiting of hair and of wearing of gold and of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, great price. For after this manner, in old times, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands. But what did this say about the character of the husband? Not one word. And the point is, we have to do right, even if the others don't hold up their part of the bargain. These are individual things I can work on. And I'm not responsible for what anybody else may respond to that. I'm responsible for what I do. And so the point is, we don't know anything about this husband other than the fact that he is apparently not a believer. We don't know much about his conduct. We don't know much about his character. We don't know much about how he treated her, because that wasn't what the Spirit was emphasizing. He wasn't emphasizing how somebody else behaves. He was emphasizing how the Christian was supposed to behave. And so when we take this lesson home, however, and I hope something fit. I hope something applied. I hope something will improve and help give us something to work on. But it doesn't matter how the others respond to it. We're responsible for how we behave. Get your psalm books out. We've just been looking at character. We've been looking at our conduct. And we have all failed at it. Our character has not always matched what it should be. Our words and our actions has not always matched what it's supposed to be. Luke chapter 12, that first verse we looked at, Jesus was dealing with hypocrisy among the Jewish leadership. Sometimes hypocrisy has been something we've had to deal with. We're not perfect on all of these, but we can be blameless because there was an avenue made in which all of our sins can be forgiven. It might be before we go into our Bible classes. It might be before we go any farther into our worship. If you feel your worship is hindered, Terry led us in prayer, but you don't feel your prayer is making it to the throne because of something going on in our life. Maybe inconsistency. Maybe some of these very things we talked about. Let's fix it. Don't let it hinder our ability to join in fellowship in prayer. Don't let it hinder our ability to later on in these hours to commune and eat with the Lord. Fix what we need to fix. If we can do it right now, we want to help you. Do it while we stand and sing.